Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Today is Thursday, November the 2nd. We thank you for listening. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. And now Steve Paisley-Jordahl joins us in studio. Good morning to you, Steve.
Morning, everybody.
So we're putting up our Christmas tree out there in our foyer of our offices here. Did you guys see that?
I saw it.
Yeah, November.
I did not.
November 2nd.
Tim, I got to say this. I just say this in love. I don't think you have any room to talk, because yesterday after we got off the show, you were singing Burl Ives' Christmas song "Silver and Gold," and that was stuck in my head all afternoon.
Well,
now it's stuck in there again.
That may have happened, but I got it because somebody else here did that to me. So it was infectious.
Yes.
Or some would call poisonous.
Well, you were a super spreader yesterday.
Do we not believe in Thanksgiving or what?
This is Christmas. Oh, yeah.
That's a big Christmas tree we got going. Maybe I'll take a picture after the show and post it on our Facebook page for tomorrow. But it's just, I guess, November 2nd to see Christmas trees. Coming up.
We may have beaten Hobby Lobby and Cracker Barrel. I don't know.
Hobby Lobby's 24/7, 365. Yeah.
Oh, all right. So we did beat them, huh?
I went to Hobby Lobby with Allison 2 days ago or something.
They're wall to wall.
There's not anything Christmas decorations you can't get. If it ain't in there, it don't exist. Yeah. I'll tell you that right now. Huh? Pretty amazing how much stuff they have. And I said, Allison, how do people buy? They buy this year, and then they're going to come back 360 days from now. They're going to buy more.
Yeah.
No wonder people have so much stuff.
Yeah,
that's
their attics are caving in.
Yes, huh? That's right. We got to buy a bigger house for our, because we have Christmas decorations and
put it out in the storage, put it out in the carport, and then the carport becomes a,
you know, like these people, they're
hoarder palace
that have all these huge amount of lights. So you go to these neighborhoods and. That just lights from stem to stern. And some of these people, of course, they're pretty well off. They're nice neighborhoods. But they have to, like, rent entire storage buildings just to keep their lights.
It's
fun to look at, but I wouldn't want to be in charge of putting it up and taking it
down. There's a house in Columbus. It's next door to Heather's parents.
Columbus, Mississippi.
Columbus,
Mississippi.
We have
a lot of Columbus, Ohio listeners.
No, not in Ohio or Missouri.
Okay.
But in Mississippi, and they put up a huge display, and they broadcast the music on radio. It's a little shortwave. You tune your radio, and they have cars lining up for weeks. I mean, it's amazing.
Let me ask you this. If you leave your Christmas lights up into April, do you just go ahead and leave them on up
early for the next year?
If you leave them up till April, yes,
some people do.
I know,
huh?
I've driven past houses here in the deep south that still have those icicle lights hanging down from their roof in July.
Yeah,
that's just wishful thinking. That's all that is.
Yeah. Christmas in July.
You almost want to stop your car and drive up and just butt into their business and say, what's wrong with you?
Well, the other thing about being down here in the deep south,
those people have guns.
They have guns. They say, problem? No, sir. No. Just move along.
All right, Steve, what's your first story?
Well, we've got Democrat-run cities that are unhappy today. Five of the biggest cities in the United States, they want the Biden administration to help them deal with all the illegal immigrants that are congregating around their parks and sidewalks and hotels.
Small businesses.
Chicago, Denver, Houston, Los Angeles, and New York say the White House is not helping them. Now, these were all, I believe they were all sanctuary cities at one point, or states. And but now they're saying we want $5 billion in funding to help cope with the surge of migrants to these cities.
Yeah, what's happened here is that the mayors of these cities, these five cities, again, New York, Chicago, L.A., Denver, and where?
Houston.
Houston, Texas. Yeah. So they've written a joint letter to Biden. And I think they want to meet with him.
Yes.
And this is serious business. They want to meet with him, and they're demanding money to help cover the expenses of them, these cities, having to house these thousands and thousands of people who are still pouring in to our country. And my answer to that is a big fat no. If I'm shaming the word no, I'm sorry, but big fat no.
Fat shaming the word no.
Yeah, but because listen, you people, Democrats, voted for this. You voted for open borders, and now you're suffering the consequences in your Democrat-run big cities. It was easy to peer down your noses at Texas and New Mexico, or Arizona and Texas in particular, and say, you guys, you need to absorb all the illegal immigrants and stop complaining. And if you don't, you're made up of bigots, and that's hateful. And we, New York, Chicago, L.A., Denver, and Houston, we are progressive. We don't discriminate. We welcome everybody. We're sanctuary cities.
Yes.
Well, now that reality is set in and these cities can't handle their sanctimonious positions, now they want the federal government.
That's you, folks.
And all across the country, they want people from all over the country to give them the money to bail them out from their stupid decision to let millions of people here illegal. Does that make sense?
Well, and you said, I think in our story meeting, Steve, that they're not just that. I think they're demanding $5 billion.
With a B, yes.
But it's not just to take care of people who are here. It's to expand like their welcome centers.
I said the word welcome center. I don't think they're literally building a building that has welcome immigrants on it. But it is to expand. I mean, they're not concerned with getting them out of the cities. By the way, stroke of genius with Ron DeSantis and
Abbott,
George,
and the former governor of Arizona too.
Yeah,
especially Abbott.
Allow these people to get on buses and go where they want. And if any of you illegal immigrants are listening right now, let me just give you a little hint: Chicago, New York, and Denver probably not the best places to head for as we go into winter. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but they have to house them. They by law, at least in New York, you have to house.
That's why they were kicking veterans out of hotels, right, and opening those up. Listen, asking the federal government for money to help pay for the mistakes and the terrible policies that these sanctuary cities have engaged in would be like me putting in a swimming pool in my backyard, realizing I can't pay for it, and then demanding that my neighbors pay for it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they've done.
Yeah.
And it's ludicrous, but when it comes to asking the federal government for money.
Also, the sanctuary city, you know what that means? That is a city declaring to their city council or whoever, we will not assist the federal government when it comes to
deporting
illegal immigrants.
As if the Biden administration deports anyone.
I know. But so they're saying we're not gonna help or participate or cooperate with the federal government, but we want the federal government to pay us a bunch of money.
Good point.
Yeah, that's why I'm here.
Yes.
Okay. So we'll watch and see what happens here. But it's interesting because the Biden administration so far is trying to act like these cities don't exist, and these cities are run by Democrats, and it's creating some real tension between these mayors and Biden and the White House. So, because I think Biden and the White House, they want to pretend like this is not happening. They've sort of put their fingers in their ears and they've closed their eyes and they're going, la, 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 la. You know, that's the attitude that they've taken toward these millions and millions of people coming here illegally. And you've got these Democrat mayors knocking on the door of the White House going, hey, we got problems out here.
It is happening.
It is happening. I think it's hilarious. Just on a visceral human level, I don't think it's good for our country by any means, but just as a reaction to these liberal cities saying, y'all come, and then they come, and then they say, y'all stay away.
Yes.
Huh? Maybe only in Houston do they use y'all stay away. Anyway. Go ahead.
In Texas, they started. Governor Abbott started putting up barbed wire on along the Rio Grande to keep these people from crossing in. The Border Patrol came in with forklifts to get under the barbed wire and lift it up, so that these people could cross. So now they're putting more of those box cars, the little truck, the 18-wheeler cargo cars.
Yeah,
they're lining them up, and it might just be as much to keep the Border Patrol from undoing the barbed wire as it is to keep the immigrants out.
I'm not sure. This is going to sound terrible. I'm not sure. With the Border Patrol, from what I've understand, they're just basically welcome wagon agents now. Just helping process people to where they want to go.
The leadership is Biden administration.
Yeah. So would we be any worse off if they weren't there at all?
Yep. Well, I mean,
what's the point of having a border patrol if they don't stop illegal immigration?
Well, they would be there to catch terrorists. Never mind. They're not doing that either. Sorry.
I'm just asking.
Yeah.
What's the point of having border control?
They do life-saving work if someone gets stranded or stuck.
Or change the name.
Yeah.
Border Rescue.
Border Rescue.
Right.
I'm not faulting them, the individual. I'm just saying that their purpose and mission has been gutted by Biden. And so, I mean, I've read stories from Border Patrol agents saying, you know, they're demoralized. They don't know what they weren't sent to be Uber drivers.
Right.
Or Red Cross. Huh? That's what they are, paramedics. That's what they've turned into. Anyway, go ahead, Steve.
All right. You guys, I know last hour talked about the terrible anti-Semitism that's going on. I know you heard from Mayim Bialik, the Jewish actress, and you've seen the protests on campus. And these anti-Semitic, it's just rife and rising to the top. Well, this is the Biden administration's response. This is our Vice President, Kamala Harris, cut four.
For years, Muslims in America and those perceived to be Muslim have endured a disproportionate number of hate-fueled attacks. As a result of the Hamas terrorist attack in Israel and the humanitarian crisis in Gaza, we have seen an uptick in anti-Palestinian, anti-Arab, anti-Semitic, and Islamophobic incidents across America. For so many people in our nation, the past few days and weeks have brought about all too familiar fears. Fears that they will be targeted, profiled, or attacked simply because of who they are, how they worship, or how they look. And so today, I am proud to announce the Biden-Harris administration will develop our nation's first national strategy to counter Islamophobia. This strategy will be a comprehensive and detailed plan to protect Muslims and those perceived to be Muslim from hate, bigotry, and violence, and to address the concern that some government policies may discriminate against Muslims.
She
referenced the so-called Muslim ban, which was not.
I expected her fully to say at the end of that, not that I wanted to listen to the end of it. That's all I wanted to say. Art at the beginning of it. Now that my work as border czar is over,
right.
I will now tackle Islamophobia.
Right.
And put that on my notch, of success stories as VP of what country it is I'm VP? Yes, of the United States.
Check notes.
I listen. First of all, to focus on Islamophobia while it's clear that we are looking at hatred of Jewish people in our country as a far greater problem, just shows how beholden the Democratic Party is and the Biden administration to the radical left in their own party. However, let me also say.
You also say.
I'm going to say also.
Also.
What in the world does that mean, what she said? Now, obviously, she's prone to the word salads. I mean, she can say a lot of words without communicating a thought.
It's true.
All right. However, how do you combat Islamophobia? All right. Unless you're talking about propaganda, because it's already illegal to see. If I see a Muslim walking down an aisle in a Walmart or a Sam's Club or something like that, and I punch them because they're Muslim, that's already illegal. So what in the world is this plan going to be that combats Islamophobia unless it is to promote the ideas of Islam and to propagandize kids in school, not just colleges and universities, but in grammar school, middle school, and high school? That, to me, is where they want to go. They want to promote the Palestinian ideas and the ideas that Israel is an apartheid state. They want to take that teaching down to the lower grades. That's what I think you'll see.
Yeah, a lot of, yeah, you make sense. I'll tell you another thing going on here related to and sort of in conjunction or related to what you're talking about is this is classic gaslighting. Okay. As you say, and it's all over the news, anti-Semitism is on the rise, and it's being openly expressed. That's what's alarming, even in America. And in response to that, Harris comes out and says, Biden and I are going to, we're forming a task force to stop Islamophobia. I'm like going, read the room.
Right.
You know, but I think it's gaslighting for this reason. Two things. One is I think they're wanting to, by they, I mean Biden and Harris and the administration, they're wanting to be able to say to those who support the Palestinian cause or Hamas, hey, we're doing something here to help you. You know, we're just not all pro-Israel, pro-Jew. We're going to do something to help you. We're going to stop Islamophobia in America. That's what we're out to do.
Right.
Because they could have done this a year ago or 2 years ago.
Don't misunderstand me. Like after 9/11, this attack on October 7th is going to be the best thing that ever happened to Muslims or Islamists in the West.
Yeah.
It will.
Because people will bend over back. You're saying people will then bend over backwards to allow the Islamists to promote their ideas.
All of a sudden, we have to learn about the seven pillars of Islam in school.
My second point,
yes.
I do have a second point, is that, and I know this is going to sound like a stretch or a reach, but Biden and Harris are trying to find some way to circle back to white supremacy.
Yeah.
And because that, they say, is the greatest threat to our country today is white supremacy.
Yeah.
They've said that repeatedly.
They've said that repeatedly. And we see it all over the country. KKK rallies going on.
Huge.
Yes, all over the place.
Tens of thousands of supporters.
All over. The white supremacists, they own radio and television stations.
Right. Have a political party.
They're everywhere.
White supremacists on the front of Wheaties boxes?
Right.
It's terrible.
Right. Only whites are being elected all over the country to office. People don't know this. Obama was white.
Yeah.
They don't know that.
I'll tell you something else.
White supremacists.
You never see a person of color on a commercial or in a television program.
I've not seen one.
No, I mean, it's clear that white supremacy has taken over and is the greatest threat to our country.
Yes.
As Biden and Harris have told us. So, in all seriousness, they got to find a way to circle back to that.
I hadn't thought about that, but that's probably coming.
Right. Because they got to whip up everybody else, the non-white supremacists.
Right.
To take the white supremacists down. Because they're the greatest threat.
To take that threat seriously.
Take that threat seriously. And their definition of white supremacist, for political reasons, is anybody who's would say they're conservative.
And who isn't woke. And yeah, who isn't
not,
a Democrat.
If you're not woke and if you are identified as a political conservative, you are by definition a white supremacist. Even if you're not white.
Right.
You don't have to be white.
Some black people,
Clarence Thomas.
Yes.
Clarence Thomas, they'd say he's a white supremacist.
Yeah.
I mean, really, honestly, that's how whacked out these people are.
Yeah.
But they use that to try to foment division in America because there is a real history to white supremacy in America. We all know that, right?
Right.
But a lot of these Democrat progressives, they want to act like that's still a major threat to our country today because they benefit from it politically.
Right.
If you can scare people to say Republicans, conservatives equal white supremacy, then you need to vote against them, and they use that as a political
sport,
which is part of the gaslighting.
And the Black Lives Movement that you see, I see these kind of people all the time on my Twitter feed, who literally believe that we're the most racist country in the world. I've seen LGBTQ people saying that they would be far better off.
Well, then move
in Iran.
Well, then move to Iran. Then
I know.
Go. We'll help you pay for it.
I saw it on Twitter or X, whatever. A picture of three transgender young people holding up a poster, nicely written out, that says Allah loves transgender people. You know, and I thought. No, he doesn't.
Yes.
You go to one of these countries, they're going to throw you off a building.
Right, or cut your head off.
Or cut your head off. How do you not know that?
The other thing is here, what's ironic, with a capital I, is you know all these, the Squad and all these secular progressive, I would just say buffoons, to be nice, they're always claiming how racist America is, right?
Yeah.
And yet, they tell the world, come to our country.
Yeah.
Come to the land of white supremacy.
Yeah, right.
And enter by the millions. And
we'll, yes.
Huh?
Yeah.
And that
seems racist to me, that you would want people of color.
Yes.
You invite them. Yeah. You encourage them to come.
Come experience the discrimination we experience.
Yeah.
Well,
How much do you hate these people?
What kind of, huh?
Yep.
What kind of message is that? The Squad and... These liberal Democrats need to be down at the border with big neon signs saying, do not come to the land of white supremacy.
Don't come. You'll regret it.
You'll regret it. You'll end up living under oppression.
They're the ones who should be saying, we need to build a
wall
for the sake of humanity.
Yeah, to keep these people out from suffering under the American white supremacy system. Am I right?
No, that's...
Who's with me?
Yes, I agree.
All right, Steve, we got a minute left here.
We got about 10 seconds left.
Make sense of the rest of the world, Steve.
I don't have enough time to play what I was going to play, but I'm going to post something on our Facebook page. I'm going to have Adam post it or something. Is it too early to start making fun of Gavin Newsom?
That's never too early.
Never too early?
Yeah.
Well,
all right, I'm just going to tease it by saying, take a look at our Facebook page, folks, because... You're going to see something that's going to be, well, Gavin Newsom channeling his favorite president, I think.
Gavin Newsom.
Is he tripped here?
The governor of California back from...
Oh wow.
My word. Man.
I even hate seeing Democrats take a tumble like that.
That hurts me.
Did I see it right? Did he tackle some basketball player or something?
Yes.
We'll have to talk about Gavin Newsom more, the Democrat from...
California.
Commie-fornia,
I think is what Abe calls it.
Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Keep listening to AFR.